Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 25 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we go and welcome in our friend Darren McFarland from Darren Donica Chase. Also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on?
If you're moving, call these folks. Don't call your friends. Yeah. I used to have a saying. I used they a pact with my friends. Look, I'm not going to ask you to move my stuff. Just don't ask me to move
That's
your
right.
stuff. Okay, just either do it yourself or hire somebody to
I've
do
been,
it.
Because
moving sucks. Moving sucks, right?
I've done this a lot, and it's always like I don't mind doing it most of the time, but there's always like this the payment of, oh, well, like we'll order you a pizza later. You
right.
can have like two slices
wow.
of pepperoni. Like, oh,
yeah.
good.
What
thanks.
About my back when I can't get up out of bed the next day for next week? How about that? Are you going to pay for the chiropractor too? Throw that into the pizza. The chiropractor visits. I mean, yeah, just don't ask me and I won't ask you.
That's right.
Okay, fair? Ready? Break.
That gets really
I
good
like
advice.
That a lot.
Really good advice. So, Darren, how are Titans fans feeling today? You had the Bengals take down the Chiefs, which most people did not expect. Does that make you feel better as a Titans fan? Do you feel worse? How'd you answer that question?
I know the easy answer is everybody's like, oh, okay. The Bengals won. You know, if they would have lost 42-7, I mean, I would have been more. But really, though, did it change anything? I mean, I'm just being honest. I even tweeted it out yesterday. I enjoyed the games, but it was still off. I mean, I felt like we should have been talking all last week about the Titans hosting their first ever AFC Championship game. I mean, period, bottom line. And I think I even warned everybody on that Friday show. I was like, do I just feel like we're all taking for granted that the Titans are going to beat the Bengals and away we go. Let's watch the Bills and the Chiefs game and see who the Titans play. I said, it feels scary. But anyway, I get it. I mean, there's a ton of reasons to think that way. And it actually played out, and it's like I sat there yesterday going, this is great, but it would have had a completely different feeling, completely different vibe. I don't know if they would have beaten the Chiefs or not. Just because the Bengals beat them doesn't mean they were going to beat them, but I really thought that, you know, they should have been hosting the game. So, no, the answer for me is no. It did none of this that's played out. Like, now, you know, people are, if Jimmy Garoppolo wins, it's like, well, why did they get to the Super Bowl? And Titans have Ryan Tannehill, and they can't get to the Super Bowl. This same type of quarterback. So all that stuff is stuff we can talk about. But if you're asking me if any of that stuff makes me feel better, no, it doesn't make me feel any better.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can – you can say, hey, look, the Bengals, what they did, whatever happened yesterday, and I think a lot of it is on the Chiefs, but there clearly is something special about this Bengals team, probably more than anything. It's just the QB, right? So yeah. you could look at it that way and say, hey, you were just that was just a special team we all didn't know, and if they go win it, then what if the Bengals win it? If the Bengals go win this whole thing, do you not look at the – even though it's still a squandered opportunity, do you not look at it a little bit differently?
I mean, it would be a great story, right? I mean, who in the world – what was the Bengals' odds to win the Super Bowl before the season began?
Ooh, wow. I'd love to know. Love to know
that. 150 to 1, 250. I know it was a 250. No, they were probably – it was probably around 125 to 1, something like that.
Probably.
I mean, 150 to 1, I would say, to win the Super Bowl. I mean, boy, you could have really cashed in. It would be a great story, Joe. It's still not going to make me feel any better, right? It's not going. I don't think it's going to make Titans fans feel any better, because here's the dilemma. We all know the dilemma, and I heard your phone call, and I loved the passion too, and you know I chuckle a little bit because I agree with them, but it's like, and I think Joe, this is kind of where you're going. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it's like, well, yeah, but if the Steelers had Russell Wilson, they probably would have been better too. Or, wait a minute, no, they would have been better. If the Colts had Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or one of those elite quarterbacks, you know, they're built pretty good too, and they'd be a lot better. I mean, that's what everybody's searching for. I think what makes me I don't know. I don't know the exact word to describe. I've been saying this stuff for a long time in this market, and people get so angry whenever I would tell them that Vince Young isn't good enough, or Marcus Mariota isn't good enough, or Jake Locker isn't going to be good enough, because they're great guys and they work hard and everybody likes them. And I said, it's not personal. Do you want to win? I don't believe you can win with these guys. And Ryan Tannehill is the same way. I'm the one 2 years ago that said, if Tom Brady's leaving, get Tom Brady here. He's elite. Get an elite quarterback here. I think now it's like everybody's going, oh, okay, so now you need an elite quarterback? Oh, okay. Yes, and you can win without the elite quarterback, but you have to work so much harder. It's so much more fun when you have the elite quarterback, because you know what? You don't have to hit on as much, right? To me, for a general manager, it's way better because you can miss more when you've got the elite quarterback, because they cover up mistakes. But I get it. It's not easy. Like, everybody that's going to call into your show and say, okay, I get it now. All right. Titans need to get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. Okay. All right. I get it. I see what everybody's been saying. All right. Yeah, but now the problem is, you know, everybody's looking for that. So how do you make that happen? I mean, Ryan Tannehill is what they have. Now they have to figure out, how do you win with that guy? The Titans couldn't do it a week ago, and the 49ers finally went as far as they could go with Jimmy Garoppolo. And, oh, by the way, he won't be their quarterback next year, right? You know why? Because they don't believe he's elite, and they don't believe he's good enough, and they drafted the guy they think is going to be better than him. They hope is going to be better than him, a guy that they hope is going to be elite. I don't know if he is or isn't. We didn't see enough, but they're going to move on from Jimmy G. So, I mean, I understand why fans are saying that. Certainly we've been talking about it. You guys have been talking about it. But easier said than done, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Darren, a rare weekend off for you in the middle of an NHL season. But it was
weird.
Very weird for the Predators not playing this weekend. We had this discussion a little bit last week. And now here we are, one day away from the beginning of the month of February. Trade deadline coming up on March 21st. I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say at this point that, barring like a collapse of epic proportions, Philip Forsberg is probably not going anywhere at the trade deadline, based on where the Predators are in the standings. I guess my question for you, and I threw this out there on Twitter last week: has he moved into it where, if you're David Poile, you got to do whatever it takes to sign this guy? 22 goals, 32 games. You know, the big talking point heading into the season was, what exactly is he worth? I think it's fair to say the price has gone up with the season that he's had. Has he reached that point for you that you do whatever it takes within, I think, realistic reason, if you're David Poile, to sign Philip Forsberg? I'm not talking $12 million a year or anything, but I think he could probably fetch 8.5, 9, pretty close at this point. Would you do that if you're David Poile?
Now, Robbie Stanley, all the conversations we've had over the years, and now a half of a season, it's give him the blank check.
I'm just asking.
Really, in this market, all the conversations of Matt Duchene's contract and Ryan Johansson's contract.
Those two are looking a little
all
better.
All the Kyle Turris's all these contracts.
You went
right?
to Turris, huh?
Well, I mean, we're trying to have. Are we having an honest conversation?
We are.
So, what were you saying this in the offseason? By the way, did you think that he could possibly have a career year going into a contract year?
Well, I mean, I thought it was possible.
Right. But, I mean, so in a half of a season, everything that you have said and everybody else has said about Philip Forsberg, you think that now it's like, okay, this is what it is for the next 8 years. This is what we've been talking about. Okay, so for now, this is what it's going to be the next 8 years.
I don't know that I buy that. I will also say that the direction of the team, at least in my view, is way different now than it was to begin the season. Light years different.
Of course.
So right. I think that factors in.
Well, I mean, in fairness, and I'm just trying to look, Philip Forsberg, do we need to sit here and talk about Philip Forsberg and what he brings to the table and his resume? We all know. That's what my point is. This is what we've been saying, and here it is. This is what we've all been saying for years, right? Like, why doesn't this season happen every year for Philip Forsberg? Everybody knows he has this talent. He's different. So why is it happening this year? I don't know. Good for him. Good for the Predators. It has changed the trajectory. Just like you said, it's changed the whole season because of the way he's playing. But that's not what you're asking me. You're asking me, does that mean now David Poyle calls his agent in and says, all right, you got me over barrel. Just put it down. Just, I've got some sheets here. You fill in the blanks and sign it, and I'll sign it, and away we go. I don't think that's how it's going to play out, and I'm asking you, do you think this is how it's going to – is finally, this is what it is. This is what we've been talking about. It's here, and it's here to stay for the next 8 years.
Well, no, because right now he's shooting almost 25% right now.
it's insane.
One out of every four shots is going in. So, no, right. I don't think it's going to be like that. But I think beyond that, he is playing lights out.
He's going to have a career year. He's going to have the best year a Predators player has ever had in a single season if he stays upright and available the rest of the way. There's no doubt about it. There's not a doubt in my mind. In fact, if he stays upright and available the rest of the way, he'll probably get to 40.
Yeah,
it's not going to surprise me at all. But now then it's going to make things really, really difficult. Okay, then what? And I would say yes, everybody's saying you got to sign up for it, but are you going to give everything that we think? What if he wants no trade? I mean, you know, we all know the parameters. We all know the stuff that's going to go on behind the scenes. Like, what is your walking away? Like, everybody, do you want Philip Forsberg back? Everybody goes, yes. We're all in agreements there. Yes, automatically. Do you want him signed up for a long-term deal? Yes. Okay, now, for what? What are you guys comfortable with? What do you think David Poyle is comfortable with? Is it $9 million? Is it $8.5 million? Is it $10 million? Is it $9.5 million? Is it $11 million?
Well,
what are you guys comfortable with?
I don't think he's getting into the $10 million range.
Yeah, I wouldn't think eight figures. I wouldn't think.
Well, no, but you said it. Just give him whatever he wants. he wants $11 million.
Well,
right? His agent wants $11 million.
Then I tell him good luck on the open market and come back to me when you're ready to have a conversation about $8.5 or $9 million would be what I would tell him at that point.
But, you know, he probably will get – I mean, he knows. Everybody knows you'll get more if you go to market. But then obviously you hope if you're the Preds that he likes the trajectory too and has a different feeling for that, right? I mean, I feel like Forsberg's reaction last summer to some of those moves was also not just – sad to see his friends go, but also a guy who didn't want to be part of a rebuild. Well, doesn't he feel better about not being part of a rebuild now?
Well, but isn't he a part of the reason of their success? I mean, if you're going to give him the big contract, it's kind of like all the discussions we've had about Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson. Well, Philip Forsberg, this just in, all the attention will come on to you now with the big contract, right? Like Roman Josi is in that. Like, you have to now live up to this stuff. Like, this is what you have to do or people go nuts, right?
Yeah.
So he's a big reason. Like, he has to be a big reason or the solution for their success, especially with the big contract. So when if people are saying, well, he's kind of viewed this, I don't know how good this team is. Well, the team is also kind of hitched to you. I mean, if you're just having an average season, we're talking about a totally different season so far for the Predators. If Philip Forsberg has half the goals, they may have, you know, four less wins. True?
Oh, for sure. I don't think there's any doubt.
And they're different. They look different in the standings. You know, it's just a different discussion. So, I mean, to me, it's like, well, Philip Forsberg needs to be this. This is why this is happening, because he is that good. So it their success, just like Roman Josi, just like the goaltender, I mean, we can start identifying. And quite honestly, they need Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson's production. Like, it's been the perfect storm through 45 games. You know, that's what it's been. But you need your – everybody knows that. It's not just the Predators. It's everybody in the league. It's in any sport. You need your big money guys, your big contract guys to produce. And if you do, and then you get the production from the other guys, then typically you're good every year. But you got to have it from the top. If Colorado doesn't have their big guns hitting on all cylinders and they're just having average years, well, Colorado, this just in, they're not sitting atop the Central Division right now. That's how it works. By the way, are they ever going to lose again?
I don't know.
That's
a good question.
My goodness.
They're pretty unbelievable.
Could somebody go put a bucket of water, pour a bucket of water on them or
right
something?
Now, McKinnon's not playing either, which is
I know.
Amazing.
It's like, are you kidding me?
Well, like, Darren, one thing is for sure, regardless of if it's here or elsewhere, I guarantee you Philip Forsberg will have enough money to not have to ask his friends to help him move.
I have no doubts about that. In fact, he wouldn't even do that, you know? I think he'll just hire the mover.
That's right.
Have Arvidsson come put a piano on his back.
Just carry one. Yeah. Darren McFarland joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. Of course, you can hear him every weekday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game from 10 to 2 on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren, appreciate you, brother.
Enjoyed it as always, guys.
Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Darren had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Thanks to Darren McFarland for joining us in the last segment. Going to be very fascinating with Philip Forsberg, how this proceeds here. 22 goals, 32 games. Tomorrow, the calendar flips to February. So the March 21st trading deadline will be here before we know it. There are still people, and I heard from some over the weekend, there are still people that believe that if he is not under contract, you have to trade him. You have no choice if you're David Poile and the Predators because you can't lose him for nothing. I understand that. I understand why how you arrive at that conclusion. I don't totally just dismiss it out of hand, but I also, like, I think the ship on that has probably sailed at this point. Again, barring some collapse by the Predators here.
Yeah. Right now you're right in the thick of things. You're in second place, your division. Although, with the Wild have, what, 5 games in hand? But, you know, you're in that 2-3 range, and if not that, you're in a strong position to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, look, it's just like you go with the Titans. Hey, keep that phone on. Field all offers, you know, explore everything. Maybe someone calls you and offers you so much that you can't possibly turn it down, but I'd be pretty surprised at this point if Philip Forsberg has moved. The only thing I can guarantee with Forsberg is, I mean, he's supplied us with a lot of conversation, and
he
keeps supplying it. So
he does.
The longer this just continues to drag and nothing continues to happen, the more we just talk about it.
That's right.
So thanks, Phil.
By the way, the latest odds that I've seen on the Predators and their playoff chances, this courtesy of MoneyPuck.com, which we've referenced a few times here on the show, 92.8%. 92.8% to make the playoffs, according to MoneyPuck.com. Feel good about that.
Yeah.
Now, granted, at one point last year, like halfway through the season, it was like 1.3% or whatever it was. And they made the playoffs. So it's not everything, but you're feeling pretty good right now if you're a Preds fan.
Well, it's like the ESPN FBI. It's like 99.999% you're going to win. Wait, 99.999% you're going to lose? Wait, 99.9%, you know. Bills Chiefs game. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it would be pretty surprising if the Preds didn't, I'd say, make it comfortable. Like, get into the tournament somewhat comfortably. So how would – what's the date of the trading deadline?
March 21st.
March 21st. Yeah, I mean, there's enough time still for the wheels to completely fall off. It's possible. But there's a certain consistency and reliability with this team, starting with the goaltender, makes that pretty far-fetched.
Yeah. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jenny in Nashville texting in says, is anything less than $9 million for Phillip going to be viewed as a team-friendly deal? This is coming from Jenny in Nashville. Anything less than $9 million, team friendly.
I mean, I still think if you pay him $8.5 million, that's a big number.
It's a big number.
And if you'd give him that over $8 million,
it's a huge number.
I mean, I don't know that that's team friendly. Like $8 over $8, is that team friendly? That puts him at the same number as Johansson and Duchesne, these contracts that we have just railed about,
yeah,
which now look fine. But you have a third, you have three of those plus Roman's 9.059. I don't know that I would term that team friendly. But is it team friendly compared to what he could get on the open market? Sure, but that's always the case with these things. It's always the case that if you go, almost always the case, if you're this level of player and you actually get out on the market, then you're going to get more.
Yeah. Chris texting in says, tomorrow officially starts February. February.
Good point.
Forsberg has 37 goals, 80 points in 93 games in the month of February in his career. More goals than any other month in his career. More points
than
any other month in his career.
That's scary if he's going to carry on with that. It's scary to think of where he'll be at the end of the month. Do you think that his performance this year is it's like Landry, contract year, and all of a sudden you see the uptick?
Look, do I think that he is locked in every single night this year? And part of that's probably due to the contract? Yes. Not to say that he's not locked in other times, but, I mean, there just is. Whether it's consciously or subconsciously, when you know that your future in some ways is tied to the year you have, I mean, it just brings a little extra focus in there. So I think that that's played into it. Now, do I think that because he's in a contract year, it's allowed him to just say, you know what, I'm going to go out there and start shooting 24%? No. Like, I think some of that is the way the games have played out for him. I think he has put himself in great positions. Like, think about the goals he's scored as of late. Great shots, great individual efforts. He's also worked his butt off to put himself into a position where you've got the puck right in front of the net. Like, he is getting to those areas that's really hard to get to. So that's why I said with Darren, like, yeah, he's shooting 25% almost. One out of four is going in. You're nervous about that because you know at some point that's coming down. But I also, I love the way he's playing when he's not scoring. Like, I think he is playing consistently great hockey on a night-by-night basis. So, yeah, I mean, does some of that have to do with the contract? I'm sure it does. But some of it, I think, is also just it feels like not only him, but the whole team has just kind of found the way they need to play. I think his chemistry with Granlund and Duchesne is awesome. Like, I just think the whole team is in a really good place right now and a place where I think you feel good about them continuing to play that way for the foreseeable future. Now, does that mean he's going to keep shooting at 24%? No. Like, at some point, it's going to stop. But I feel pretty good about the way he's playing, that it will allow him to be consistently productive.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest question is still, talk to me at the end of February, did he play every game? I'm like,
yep. And I don't – like, the COVID thing this year, I don't really hold that against him.
Well, no. How many games was that? That was a couple games.
Four or five.
Was it that many? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Right. It's the injury history, even if it's just this minor thing here, this minor thing there. If you're missing 15 to 20 games a year, you're not getting younger. I mean, that's something you got to take into account. But if he goes through the rest of the year playing like this and playing every night, well, I mean, that's – He's increased his market value. If I was a team out there looking at him, that would be my biggest question too. Along with then there's the consistency thing. And like you said, look, he's not going to stay at 24-25%. But the way he plays, it's like he's the power forward thing. It's like it fits in with how this team wants to play, and it actually makes him a better player. I wouldn't have necessarily predicted that, but. But I think that's who he is. That's who he is at his best.
Yeah.
And so if he's figured that out and that's going to be him every night, then what does that mean for his production year after year moving forward? Is he going to be pushing 40 goals multiple times in the years to come?
If you knew that Forsberg was going to score 30 goals a year for the next 5 years, maybe he doesn't reach – maybe he reaches 40 this year, never reaches 40 again, but he scores 30 for the next 5 years, you sign him up 8 years, $8 million.
I probably would, because that means that he's playing for the most part, and you just don't go out there and pluck any let's get this guy to score 30-plus goals year after year after year. There aren't that many guys like that. So he may not be the absolute elite, top shelf guy, but how many – look at the forward history of this franchise. Yes, I would. Yeah. If I knew that, I think I'd quickly sign him to that.
Every day of the week. When we come back, we'll continue to take your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into conference championship weekend as well. The Super Bowl matchup is all set. What do we think of Bengals and Rams? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Listen to me, Cincinnati. Surround him with the right players. Get people that can protect him. Because right now, he's almost willing you to wins with a not-so-great roster if anybody else is paying attention. Joe Burrow is your future. You can win Super Bowls with Joe Burrow. Cincinnati, you can win Super Bowls with an S with Joe Burrow. Just make sure you do what you have to do in this draft, the next draft, and the following 1-3 years from now, where you surround him with the kind of guys that he needs in order to put you on the top, and he can. This will be a top 5 quarterback in 2 years in the NFL. Based on what we're watching now, Joe Burrow would not fall off of a cliff. We all talked about his acumen. He was 23 years old when he was drafted, so he's mature, understands what it takes to continue to get good in this league. Cincinnati, don't mess this up, because if y'all mess this up, I'll be sitting on NFL Live 2 years from now, and trust me, I already know y'all know what I'm going to be saying.
That was Marcus Spears from, I believe, October of 2020, discussing Joe Burrow. Looking ahead to...
Well done.
Yeah. Now, the funny part is he's talked about, like, if you could protect him, which they've not really done this year, but he's won anyway. I guess he's protected more than he was last year when he got hit and tore his ACL, so that's good.
Yeah. He was only the most sacked quarterback in the NFL this year, but he didn't have a devastating injury.
That's good.
Yeah. Still getting sacked in the playoffs. Still winning.
Yeah. I got a texter, Josh from White House, texting in, says, if the Rams win, does Stafford make the Hall of Fame? It's coming from Josh from White House.
His resume looks a lot better.
Well, the thing about him is, like, by the time his career is done, he's going to have some massive numbers. I mean, he had some massive seasons in Detroit. They led to, like, 6 wins, but he had some massive numbers in Detroit. He's going to have, by the time he's done playing, like, he's... The amount of touchdowns and yards that he's going to throw for are going to be absurd.
So if you those numbers are he's going to be high on lists. Yes, in this era when all the numbers are inflated, you know, compared to past eras. But that along with if you have a Super Bowl championship in there, yeah, I think he'd be in good shape. A couple quick ones on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com that we didn't get to over the show. One, Indy Ben did argue when we talked about the whole going to get like Aaron Rodgers. He said it would mortgage the future. It's better to roll with Wentz one more season, get him better wide receivers. If it doesn't work out, get the long-term guy in the 2023 draft where there are better QB prospects. Okay, but you also may – you're not going to be crap, so you're not going to be high in the draft to get those prospects you want. You know, that's the problem. That's the problem with being good, pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and plus, I do agree with Jared on this point on 2022 draft. You know, we label these drafts by position, like this is a bad QB draft, good, you know, linebacker draft, whatever.
Yeah.
There could be the greatest at that position ever amidst the quote-unquote bad draft or the good draft could be totally empty. I mean, you just don't know.
Like, I don't know. And I could be wrong here. But I don't think I am. I don't recall everyone just going nuts for Patrick Mahomes in the years that he was drafted.
Like, absolutely not.
Patrick Mahomes, he can't miss. Let me tell you.
When Patrick Mahomes was drafted, there was a lot of system QB, don't trust it. Huge numbers at Texas Tech with Kingsbury. Nah, don't trust it. Okay, well. In fact, you know, Todd McShay had an interesting thing last week about how he evaluates QBs differently because Mahomes – because he was so unorthodox, essentially, he got marked down because of that. But then it's sort of like, okay, but he makes plays. But there's going to be other guys with huge numbers and who you think are going to be great, and they're just not going to work out. It's also where you land. That's why I'm so glad for Stafford to get out of Detroit. And I believe that the Lions are among the franchises that have had guys who would have been great elsewhere but weren't great because they were with them. That's a huge part of this. William from Madison says, is it weird John Robinson hasn't talked to the press yet? Almost like he doesn't want to talk about Tannehill or his future. I don't think that we've normally had a John Robinson post season presser for the most part. Not obviously, unless, you know, he fires Mike Mularkey.
Yeah.
So for the most part, it's been the next time that he talks is at the combine, and that's basically just about 1 month from now. So I don't. It's not weird. It's pretty typical.
By the way, the Saints. This coming from Ian Rappaport. Saints are interviewing some head coaching candidates this week. Brian Flores on the list. Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn coming up on Wednesday, and current defensive coordinator Dennis Allen on Wednesday or Thursday. That's all that's on the list so far. But Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn, and Dennis Allen.
So Jeremy Fowler reports that from the Vikings' perspective, they felt that Harbaugh's interest was genuine. So Jim Harbaugh's interest genuine, which doesn't surprise me at this point. I thought he was parlaying this into just get his money back. But I get it. I mean, if you ultimately want to end up back in the NFL and try to go back and win a Super Bowl, your marketability to NFL fan bases right now is as high as it's been in a few years, and who knows? You're probably going to go out next year and get beat by about 30 by Ohio State, if we're being honest here. So I get it. We'll see if he gets the job.
By the way, Auburn offensive coordinator Austin Davis has stepped down.
What?
He got hired in December from the Seahawks and has now stepped down as offensive coordinator. What is going on down there at Auburn?
I don't know, but Brian Harsin might be a one and done at this point. I mean, like Derek Mason leaving for Oklahoma State, okay. I mean, I wouldn't say Oklahoma State to Auburn is an upward move.
No.
You know, but okay, I mean, I don't know the terms of the deal and all that stuff. But someone just steps down, not for another job, who you just hired?
He's been there a month. What's going on down there?
I don't know.
Good gracious.
I don't know. But it was. I thought that was a weird hire in the first place. It's continued to look weird.
Whew. Could be some rough good time for Bruce Pearl down there. Be some rough times ahead for
basketball school. Basketball school.
Basketball school. I can't believe that. So you lost Derek Mason as your DC. He steps down, and now he's with Oklahoma State. And the guy you just hired to be offensive coordinator steps down. Bo Nix has been there for 4 years, transfers, takes off to Oregon. It's a lot of weird stuff happening down there.
Like no one wants to be there.
Like no one wants to be there with Brian Harsin.
Probably doesn't bode well for your future. My gosh.
Scott on the text line says, speaking of protecting Joe Burrow and lack thereof, they actually protected him yesterday, and it cost me money. The irony is brutal. Oh, man, Scott had a lot of things that hit on his same-game parlay. The sacks for the Chiefs was not one of them.
What was the number?
It says 2+. Didn't they get more than 2 sacks?
I thought they sacked him 2-3 times. No? Is that not true?
Well, there's a red dot on the parlay picture, he told me, so I guess not.
Oh, man. And, again, that's another, like, again, credit to the Bengals, okay? Credit to the Bengals. The Chiefs. I mean, that's an all-timer from the Chiefs' perspective, okay, in terms of just coughing up a game.
Oh, man.
All-timer. One sack. They had one sack. Melvin Ingram.
When they won the coin toss, though, I was like, after all everything that's happened, they win the coin toss, they're going to go right down the field and score. 13 seconds in, throws an interception. Quite the different tales of 13 seconds the last couple of weeks.
I must say, yeah, and that was you know what? That was a really good play by the Bengals corner to pop that out of there.
Yep.
I will say that we should all be happy that we don't have another week of talking about college versus NFL over. We've already gone over it.
Yes.
Okay? We've gone over it.
That's right.
But this does show you, no, winning the coin toss, the defense is allowed to get a stop.
That is true. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donovan Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be on your own boss. Join their team of 25 years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. No news on Tom Brady yet today.
Yep,
he did not
still,
plead your warning yeah. at 7:45 when the Rex ran and announce his retirement, or that he's coming back. Still
no. It doesn't. Remember, it didn't have to be either of those. It could have been, guys, I haven't made a decision. Like,
I hadn't said that
respect
either.
I'm just going to hang back and decide later, okay? Didn't do that either.
He did not.
Just continue to let these guys flail about.
Yeah.
Hey, if Darlington got that from a sketchy source and went with it, then that's on him, but that would not be – that would not follow his pattern.
Now, Darlington was pretty good on the Tom Brady to Tampa Bay stuff a couple years ago. Worked out pretty well.
Yep, and some other stuff involving Brady. So, yep. I don't know. Pretty annoying.
Shout out to TB12, giving us something to talk about here today.
Yeah, it's like this week it's fine.
Yeah.
If the report came out today,
yeah.
That's fine. Nothing going on anyway. Why not?
So what did you think of conference championship weekend? By the way, this is now six straight games that the NFL has provided that have been pretty darn good in terms of entertainment value, dramatic finishes. Divisional round last week was awesome despite the outcome for the Titans. And conference championship weekend was pretty good as well. Two pretty good games yesterday that were entertaining from start to finish. And now here the Bengals are advancing to the Super Bowl and the Rams as well. Interesting matchup. We'll have a lot of time to talk about the matchup itself, but the Bengals coming back and getting that done yesterday, they were down 11.5, and they just could not stop Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I thought they had virtually zero chance to come back and win that game, and then they were able to do it. Defense played better in the second half, and Kansas City helped with that a little bit, and Joe Burrow, you know, his numbers aren't spectacular from yesterday, but he had some big-time moments in that game yesterday, including with his legs as well.
Yeah, no, some big plays. No, I mean, he's great, and he got it done. Bengals got it done. They deserve a lot of credit. Had a lot of fights with people today about the Bengals. All I said is that, look, the Titans and Chiefs both, they did some uncharacteristically stupid things to help the Bengals win. Not to take all the credit away from the Bengals. The Bengals deserve a lot of credit. I don't think the Bengals are – I don't think over a long period of time, and I think we saw it this season, but however you'd want to do it, if you matched up the Bengals with the Bills, with the Chiefs, with the Titans, I don't think the Bengals are the best team in the AFC. But you know what? It's a one-time-and-out tournament, and they got it done. They figured out a way. Yesterday, you know, the Titans game, look, they didn't trail. They should have trailed. They should have trailed by a point. But they, you know, they were never like having to come back from a deficit in that game. Yesterday was, I think, very close to just a complete blowout. And probably, I don't know. Do Titans fans feel better if that's the way it goes? Maybe a little bit. You tuck yourself into, there was no way you were going to beat the Chiefs. If that was a guy, I saw some of that on Twitter already. Yeah. In the first half, you weren't going to beat the Chiefs anyway. Which again just shows how little, you know, like just let the sports happen. Yeah. I mean, I'm guilty of it all the time too.
Well, I saw some of that too yesterday while the game was going on, and my immediate thought was, like, look at Patrick Mahomes back there and the time he has to throw the ball. Probably don't have that time against that Titans pass rush. Just my guess, but probably wouldn't have that amount of time.
I mean, shoot, at this point with the Chiefs, I look at their absolutely empty, terrible second half and overtime offensively, and I'm thinking the Titans shut them out. I don't know.
Maybe
27-3, part duh.
Yeah. You know?
But look, whatever you want to do, the Bengals deserve a lot of credit, and those teams deserve a lot of blame. I think that's fair. I think both of those teams, Titans and Chiefs, can sit here and kick themselves and say, we should not have lost to that team. How did we lose to that team?
Yeah.
But the Bengals won. And they move on. So, ultimately, like, I just wouldn't waste a lot of time, as some Bengals fans are doing, including my buddy Lance Williams, who I used to work with, the Tennessean, who's mad at me. I wouldn't waste a lot of time worrying about people saying that the other teams choked. They did. But so what? Your team's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
By the way, going back to our choice is yours question from last week of quarterbacks over the next 10 years that will appear in more Super Bowls, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow. Score one for Burrow.
Yes.
He's up. 1-0.
That's me. I picked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting one this year? Woo. What does that mean in future years? Doesn't guarantee anything because I thought when the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, when they beat the Niners, which, by the way, only happens because Jimmy Garoppolo misses an absolute gimme pass that you have to have. But they won. I thought that that would be the first of a few for them. It may still be. But keeping this crew together, and especially this year, it's right there for them. I mean, it's right there to win 2 out of 3. I mean, yeah, that's tough. Who knows? Maybe they can't keep it together, and they're on the decline. They are on the decline since winning. They lose in the Super Bowl, and they don't get to the Super Bowl.
Who feels worse, Titans fans from last week, Kansas City from this week? I mean, Kansas City, at least, you do have a Super Bowl championship a couple years ago. So there is that.
Based off the games themselves, because, again, the Titans came right out and turned it over, and they couldn't figure it out, and their offense was bad in the first half, and they fought back, and they had it tied, but 21-3? I think the Chiefs have to feel worse about it. Like, they were – it was a mismatch.
Yeah.
It was. They had the Bengals overmatched, and I would love to know. Bengals made plays. Good for them. Credit. All – they get credit. But what in the heck happened with the Chiefs? What did they do in the second half? I don't – watched it, but I don't understand it.
That's
like, Mahomes throws for, what, 230 in the first half? And like 40 in the second half? How?
And then on the other side, you get the Rams really at times overcoming their own head coach and winning this game yesterday to go to the Super Bowl. McVay had some moments that just make you scratch your head. I mean, we've talked about the challenges, but what was it? It was in the fourth quarter. It was like 3rd and 4, and he throws like this screen pass that just gets totally blown up by Fred Warner. And you can literally see Sean McVay on the sideline tap his chest and go, "Yeah, my bad, man.
My bad.
Sorry. That was a bad call.
That was a dumb play. Yes, shoot. Gosh darn it." It was. I mean, actually, I like seeing that.
Yeah. I do. I mean, he seems like he's a really likable person. Not a great game from Sean McVay yesterday, but they won anyway. Won the Super Bowl.
Now, he challenges that. He challenges that play, which is clearly not a fumble. And Shanahan has his punt team out there. You're getting the ball back. Yeah, okay, you can gain 40 yards, which is important if you get the challenge. But I thought, Shanahan should have absolutely – if Shanahan goes for it there, they get it and they win. And then it is Sean McVay, of all the things that happened bad this weekend for the two losing teams, Sean McVay's coaching blunder is the headline.
Yeah.
Like that, oh, I don't know what he was thinking there.
This is a pretty likable quarterback matchup in the Super Bowl, though. Stafford and Burrow. Two guys, obviously, who have never been there before. Stafford's been in the league a long time. Had to suffer through the challenges of being a Detroit Lions quarterback. He's on the other side now in the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow, with every interview he does, becomes more and more likable to some people. I know Titans fans probably not a big fan of him right now. I'm intrigued by this quarterback matchup. Burrow and Stafford. Gunslingers out there throwing that thing around.
Yeah, it's a good one. In the end of the day, Burrow's probably gonna have a better career than Stafford. Probably gonna be better quarterback than Stafford. But Stafford, I think, proved a lot this year. About one, the Rams made a good choice, but Stafford is good enough. I mean, he is. And if he avoids that one or two, the like, what are you doing throws in a game, then at times he's really good. I mean, he made some throws yesterday that were dazzling. And Stafford, I mean, this is going to be the thing with the Lions. He was good with the Lions, They were bad. It's also like this is I think going to be a kind of like a blueprint thing, like we've been talking about with the Titans. It's just such a unique situation that McVay found himself in, but good for him for going for it. Because Jared Goff and the Lions are not – Jared Goff and the Lions –
They're certainly not going to
win the bowl in like 3 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jared Goff and the Rams are not where they are right now.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a lot to get to coming up on the other side, including some coaching movement in the NFL that could involve the Titans as well. We'll get to that coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. Jasper's is a casual restaurant and bar located on Weston Avenue, equipped with TVs, a game room available for private events, a grab-and-go market, and free parking. Yes, free parking. We know what a big deal that is in downtown Nashville. This neighborhood spot is Nashville's new go-to restaurant and bar, and you can try their selection of elevated bar food ranging from appetizers to chicken sandwiches to great flatbread pizzas and the famous Smash Burger, as well as any of their delicious cocktails. So visit my friends at Jasper's, located located at 1918 Weston Avenue. That's 1918 Weston Avenue, and tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you.